Psalm.
Psalm 103. So we just had believers meeting. When we have Christian meetings like that, you don't just have a good time. There's nothing like we had a good time. It's what you do after meetings that make meetings count. It's not just the meeting itself. The word of God you don't act upon is as powerless as the one you never heard. I'll say it again. God's word that you don't act upon is as good. I didn't say powerless. Is as good as the one you never heard. So if I hear God's word and I don't put it to work, I could have just not heard it at all. You don't get fit by registering for a gym. You've got to show up. Say, I registered for the gym session. But I'm not getting better. I'm not getting fitter. I'm going to have to go and see them face to face. You should be there. Amen. You don't register for the gym or in the gym or at the gym. Anyone that's correct. And expect to just get fit. No. The word of God you don't act upon is as good as the one you never heard. And so there's a responsibility on us as believers, as Christians, to not just hear the word. James will say, do not be hearers of the word only. It's good to hear, but don't be hearers only. So you must be doers of the word. It says, he that hears the word and does not do it is like someone that goes look into the mirror, look at his face, and does not do anything about it. Said that man is acting beside himself. That man is not mentally stable. That's what I say. I do the word. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefit. Then he explains the benefits before you think it's benefit boys. Who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. Is that you? Oh, he redeems my life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfy your mouth with good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses. His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. I'll explain slow to anger. I believe we have to do something, one of our series where we explain the character of God. I think we need to look at how slow to anger, you might think, means that he doesn't get angry fast. That's not what he's saying. Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always shout, neither will he keep his anger forever. The word anger is actually in italics. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so is his great mercy towards them that fear him. As far as east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. Amen. Amen. Like a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for a man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his commandments, or his covenants rather, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, and these commandments, acting to the voice of his word. Bless you, the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of ease that displeasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. So he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefit. That's verse 3, I think. Or verse 2. And he explains the benefit. So he lists this to you. He says, forgives your sins. He redeems you from destruction. He heals some of your diseases. Huh? Are we in church? He forgives some of your sins. He heals some of your diseases. So, He heals all diseases. He heals all my diseases. All diseases gone. Amen. Well, look at what David says. He says, forget not. That will be the title of the teaching. Forget not. So God's word says, forget not. That means my memory of what God has done must be intact. My memory of what God has done must be intact. Forget not. There's a battle for memories. One of the strong fights in Christian journey is what you can remember. Not just what you can remember, how you remember it. In Psalm 119, that's the longest chapter. Let's just say chapter. As a postmodern record. Because it was never in chapters. So it's fine. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I remember we used to sing this song in children's church. Your word have I hid in my heart. I might not sin against you. I've forgotten now how it sounds. How many of you know the song I'm talking about? Your word have I hid in my heart. I may not sin against you. Alright, verse 12 says, bless the Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your status. With my lips have I declared all the judgments. I have rejoiced, verse 14, in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in your precepts and have respect to your ways. Can we verse 16 together? I will not forget your word. Say, I will not forget your word. Ah, I thought you said it better. Say, I will not forget your word. Because it's possible to forget. It's possible to forget. So I said, there's a battle to forget and a battle to remember. The enemy will try his best to dislodge us from everything God has ever done. I'm going somewhere tonight. And I pray you get there with me. Amen. Amen. Try to distract us away from everything God has ever done. He will remind you of times that bad things happened. And the truth is, bad things happen. Amen. Bad things happen. And it give you memories of, you know, you remember that time where you said God was going to step in. Basically, stories that don't have God at the center. And the devil will try to bring them up. But the believer also has a responsibility to remember. To remember all his benefit. So David says, forget not his benefit. It's a responsibility. It's not just what you remember, it's how you remember it. Psalm 78. Are you there? I am. So I'll wait for you. Psalm 78. Verse 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. So these guys already put all their armory, everything they needed, the weapons, right? But they turned back. Why? They kept not the covenant of the Lord, and refused to walk in his law. They forgot his works and the wonders he has shown them. Marvelous things he did inside of their fathers in the land of Egypt. In the field of Zoan, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as an heap. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. In the daytime, he also led them with a cloud and all the night with a light of fire. He cleaved the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as though it was out of great depths. He brought streams out of rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And he says, they forgot. And because they forgot, they turned back. You won't turn back. Yeah. So, I have a very nice picture of this now. Let's picture it. So these guys had their bows, had their arrows. They've spoken about the battle. One more, we're going to fight. Ah, those people. So the day of battle came. They were armed. And then one by one, you know, turning back is not everybody at once. So it's, what do you think? And one of them said, I think wisdom is profitable to direct. Watch when you classify something as wisdom. Watch it. Watch it. Because oftentimes they're not. When people call something wisdom, they are about to do the opposite of the word. Paul will call it, there's a wisdom of this world. In fact, in Corinth, it says, God confounded the wisdom of the wise. Yeah, and that's sarcasm. Because he said he used the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. So he calls them wise, even though they are fools in God's plan. But watch when you call something wisdom. How many of you have, you've caught yourself in that before, you know, and you say, I think it's just wisdom. I've done that before, you know. You know that this it is sin. This is not wisdom. But, you know, just to cover up and then, you know, make it look acceptable. So that's it. I just think it's wise to watch it. Is that clear? Of course, you're wise by the Spirit of God. His word leads you. You have his leading by the Spirit. Yeah. So, they turned back in the day of battle. Not because they were weak. He said because they forgot. That means even the assignment God has given to us, we still need to remember things for it to come to pass. God has told you you're going to minister the gospel. You're going to heal the sick. In fact, okay. If God told you, let's even bring it down. Kana. God told you, you're going to have businesses. God can tell you you're going to have businesses and you're going to be successful in them. You don't know. God can tell you that. This is not, I thought it was only gospel. God can tell you you're going to be a successful engineer. But he's saying, if you forget, that's over. He says, because they forgot, they turned back. Because they forgot. They forgot his works. Then he says that did God not part the sea? He says, the waters were like heap on either side. He said, he did not bring water out of rock as though it was out of the great depths. I love the way the Psalm wrote it. He said, he brought streams out of the rock as though it were rivers. But they forgot all of that. You won't forget. Amen. That means our assignment cannot even be fulfilled if we don't remember. So the Christian has a responsibility to remember. There are things to remember. You can't have yourself in a position where you forget. Let me ask you a question. How many of us have ever seen or heard God do something miraculous for someone? Yes, you know? So you saw someone who was sick, terribly sick, and he got healed. Or you saw someone who was in a dire need of something, and then miraculously, God provided. Let me see hands. Good. Or anything miraculous, anything supernatural. Let me see hands. Anyone? Good. Good. Keep those hands up. Good. How many of us also have seen bad things happen to good people? Okay, good. The one you remember in the day of battle. You can put your hands down now. The one you remember in the day of battle speaks a lot. We have a responsibility to not forget. And the truth is, everybody has faced one thing or the other. Pastor, there was a time I prayed. I wanted God to step in so good. I don't want to say so bad. I wanted God to do something. I prayed. Pastor, it did not happen. So the next time, there's just something at the back of your mind that forgets everything that has happened. That forgets when you asked God and he did it. That forgets when you did not even ask God and something happened. And then, you know, there are things in my life and I'm wondering. I didn't even pray about this. Earlier this year, I was thinking about something. I said, I didn't even pray about that. I didn't pray about that. It happened. There are things that I didn't forget to, not that I forgot. I didn't see it as so, they were too far. It looked too far that I didn't want to pray about it now. And then God just did them. And there were things I prayed about that it appeared. God is silent. When I am in the face of battle, which one I remember speaks a lot about my faith. Bless the Lord. Don't forget a single thing. It's not just an instruction of endearment. It's a commandment that we must keep to our chest. I must not forget. Why are you scared to pieces? You forgot something.
I had a friend. That's an old friend. You know, she had a terminal illness at one point. And I remember we prayed. They took her to ECH. And thank God she was fine. Back at home. We continued ministry and all that. And I think of 3-4 years after that time, the brother came down with the same sickness.
the same sickness, and it was serious. So they were trying to raise money for surgery, and she was scared to her bones. Understandably so. I've told you before that people show emotions does not mean they are faithless. It's what you do after the emotions. You can cry, but when you're done crying, what are you going to do next? Because tears will not solve a thing. Christianity does not mean you don't show emotions. Jesus wept. Amen. Not once. He wept when he saw Lazarus in Gethsemane. He wept. It was as though it was blood. Amen. I've not even done that. Amen. So Jesus cried. At some point he said he felt compassion. He saw them like sheep without shepherd. So emotions are part of the Christian faith. It doesn't mean you have faith when you nothing happens. No, the Bible says rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. That means you must show emotions. I don't know if it's an African thing. We try to pride in the fact that I don't show emotions. I don't have emotions. That's not a good thing. You should. Amen? How many of you know what I'm talking about? I don't cry. Why? Why don't you cry? Something wrong with your lacrimal gland? Why don't you cry? To me. I can never be scared. You. The ordinary masquerade came out. Remember, I met the masquerade. I was driving around bro, David, you were with me. So we were together in the car. And I was driving. So the masquerade came. And I saw you come out from that house. So I said, I don't have money. Can't threaten me. I've beaten the masquerade before. At Mushi. We went to buy church cotton. When we first started, I was in the sun. The guy was just there. Say, leave the road. Leave the road. He pushed me. I pushed the masquerade back. I know it's a human being that is there. And you are probably younger. So, because you can't be jumping this much if you are an old man. So I told him, I don't have cash. The masquerade said, it takes transfer. Who pay? Masquerade. Who pay? So you have BVN. Around. You know, what brought me to masquerade? You know, you claim you don't have emotions, but if you see masquerade, you start running, calm down. Emotions are not bad. Question is, what do you do with them? Or what do you do after you are now, after you have been emotional? So, they had a surgery, and we were looking for money for the surgery. So she was sad and all of down. I was down too, but I just remembered. It's 4 years, but I remembered. So I told her, I said, sorry, was this not the same thing you battled your life for? You battled for life. And she said, yes, that's more reason why I'm even concerned. I know how it feels. I know the pain. Are you sick now? I said, no. Then remember, forget not his benefit. He did it. You read it so that he can do it again. Everything you see in the scriptures, he healed the sick, he raised their dead, he provided, he had mercy, is because he's going to do it again. They are your diary for a God or of a God who knows no impossibility. That's your diary of the miraculous. That's your first diary of the miraculous. You see it, that they were hungry and 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes and he multiplied it. Then he said, yeah, that's my cue. He provides my needs. Oh, the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. Good. Healed her. She's fine. That's my cue. He heals my sicknesses. See. You must remember. Are you listening to me? You must. It's a responsibility. It's not just an endearment. It's not just something we are trying to, let's remember. We even sing this song, right? Remember how our God has never failed. Never failed us. Remember that his name make a way. You make a way from the cross to the grave. He is risen and he reigns. Praise the Lord. Sing his praise again. So we say, remember. The Igbo will call it Cheta. I tried. Thank you. Remember. Say, I'll remember. So, things happen. Sometimes, you know, what we, but You can't say you've never seen God do something. Remember, forget not his benefit. We must not allow unfavorable situations build strongholds in our minds. We must not allow that. The devil must not bring back those memories of unlovely situations. We must also remember what God has said, what God has done, what God has promised. So sometimes it's not the weakness of our faith, it's the strength of our unbelief. It's not that our faith is weak. Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. So it's not big faith. It's just faith. I remember, I think I'll go back to it. I used to have this blog. I write. I stopped 2014. Did you meet it? Work Active. You met it? You know about it. You helped me at some point. Did you? So I used to share the article everywhere on campus. I stopped 2014. I'll print it out for free. I even had people who sponsored it and all of that. And we had this website where we used to post articles. And I remember one of the articles I wrote was, big faith? No, just faith. So sometimes it's not about the size of your faith. If you have faith like a mustard seed, you will say, faith like a mustard seed. Have you seen a mustard seed before? Have you seen it before? I have. It's so small. It's so small. It's not orange, though. It's not like that orange seed, though. Smaller. And Jesus said, that's the kind of faith you need to move mountains. So sometimes it's not the size of your faith. It's the size of unlovely memories. It's the size of unbelief. Remember. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefit. It's a responsibility to not forget. Use all your diseases. Don't forget. Don't judge him with history. Say, in our family. In fact, even say, in fact, one of my friends, this is what happened to her. That's why I tell people who are pregnant in our church. I tell them, as you're approaching labor and delivery day, I just remember to tell them something. Your faith is in him. Your faith is not in any experiences, because when you're pregnant and you're getting close to time, you start to read a lot of, it's normal to read. they say some people's ear used to turn around. That's how one woman not talk again. So I said, your faith is not in people's history. Your faith is not in people's situations. It's not even in your own experiences. Your faith is in what he has said. You put that remembrance. Are you listening to me? Come on. Are you listening to me? So there's a battle for our memories. I used to work in the federal hospital. I'm no longer. But I used to work in the federal hospital. And what that means is that you get to see a lot of situations. In fact, you don't need to work in the federal hospital. If you work in any decent hospital that has cases, but faith, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you just see some situations. What's this? Which one is this one again? Some situations, you only saw it in medical school in textbook. In fact, they will tell you, the epidemiology is this is 1 in 1 million in Africa. And then, the next day, you're seeing it on the world. 1 in 1 million. How did you get here? I remember there was a case like that, and they had to start calling some consultants from UCH. You will be shocked. And I was wondering, what's happening? Is it that serious? I went on ward round with a friend some time ago. And as we were coming back from the ward round, she felt headache. She felt slight headache. And she was like, God, this headache is serious. So I said, maybe you just need to rest. Take water. Maybe you're dehydrated. She said, I hope it's not brain tumor. If you work in your hospital, you might look at me and say, how was it? If you work in a clinical setting very well, I'm telling you that's not far from your thoughts. So, you have a responsibility to remember. Pastor, that's why I stopped working there. No. Nah. You see something, your mind is just saying, some days ago, someone told me, he's feeling pain around the intercostal muscles here. So, he's feeling some pain and all that. My clinical experience, I'm already saying, Have you checked your lungs, kidney, nothing? I was already thinking cancer.
Because it's unusual, except you have a rib fracture. So, it's just, is he a rib fracture? Is he, any growth? Did they see any? So after I was done, I said, have to remind myself that, okay, it's the way you were trained in school. Now, what do you tell him? So I said, okay, you know what? Calm down. Do this test and this test and you'll be fine. But why will our mind, that means there's a battle in our minds. There's a battle for our thoughts and our thinking. So I said, Father, that one's not my own. My own is being broke. You know that folks who, they've seen maybe people in their family, you know, rise and fall and rise and fall and rise and fall. So even when they rise, they are careful not to talk about it. Because somehow, they're expecting to fall. You will not fall. Amen. Somehow, there's just a battle for the mind. Just a battle of the mind. And God, what is telling you, it's a commandment. It's not a soothing saying. It's not an advice. He's commanding you, don't forget his benefits. So that you don't be like the children of Ephraim. They turn back on the day of battle. Not because they didn't have the weapons. Not because they didn't have God behind them. But because they forgot. They forgot. And cleared the sea. They forgot. They forgot that this same God gave them food 40 years. They forgot. How do you forget such a thing? It means the devil is working very hard. He's working over time. That you don't remember. But I remember. In fact, forgetfulness could be a sin. You got Deuteronomy chapter 4. You learning something? Is that fast we move away from the last meeting? We've moved. We press ahead. Amen? Uh-huh. It's what you do with the word that matters. Is will you remember? Let's bring teaching to it. Will you remember? It's good. You had the experience. The hands were laid on you. By the way, if I didn't lay hands on you, find a way of remind me on Sunday. Let me do that. Is that clear? Yes. I laid hands on you. Why did you say yes, bro? I remember laying hands on you. So if I didn't, let's find a way. Hallelujah. That's the advantage of being in the local church. Alright. Deuteronomy chapter 4. You there? Verse 9. I'll start from verse 7. For what nation is there so great? Who God is not near to them? As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. And what nation is there so great? That has statutes and judgment so righteous as all this law which I said before you this day. Only take it to yourself. And keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. Amen. He's saying, God is great to us. God is good to us. But we must not forget. It must be something we teach our children about the goodness of God. The Israelites built a golden calf. He said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. You think they forgot? That means there's not an issue with their memory. If they can remember Egypt, then they can remember the wilderness. If they can remember Egypt, they can remember the sea. But somehow, the devil has perfected them. They skipped the sea. They skipped when serpents We're killing them in the wilderness. They skipped that. They skipped all the plagues and all the things Moses did. How his rod became serpents. They skipped all of that. The four sons of Egypt. They skipped all of that. What did they remember? Egypt. So they built a golden calf. And Moses is wondering, did you not drink water out of the rock? So he said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. So the issue was not their memories. The issue is that the strength of their own belief is great. What you choose to remember. Yeah, folks, they just the same sickness that a lot of people have been healed from, but you choose to remember the people that died from it. Just choose to remember the people that suffered from it for years. No. I forget not his benefit. It means the devil is working hard on you forgetting. He's going to bring stories that God is not at the center. Psalm 106. So the Christian has a responsibility to not just forget. What kind of commandment is that? Forget not. That's a commandment. Forget not. Or can put forget not his benefits. Psalm 106. Verse 19. We just spoke about the golden calf now.
They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus, they changed their glory to the similitude of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God their Savior, which he had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the sea, by the Red Sea. They forgot. They forgot him. Ah, Pastor, there was a time in your life where your strongest prayer was to get admission. You know what I'm talking about. I jump result is out, and 1.9 wrote, 1.5 add below 200. We are sitting on a time bomb in this country. Some of you cannot laugh because you wrote it 5 times and everything, only one above 200. So, calm. Is that your testimony? Calm down, huh? Oh, yeah. I'm going to do pre-degree. Where's brother Iwa? Iwa, just find a way of making it to the bad side of my sermon. I'm going to do pre-degree. Because they did not degree you direct. So you say, I'm going to enter by hook and crook. Diploma. Your highest prayer was to get admission. I know what you... Everybody was praying. Church, your parents, everybody. Admission. Then you got the admission. You're even like, I can't wait for this school to finish. If that had never happened to you, you never went to school. One of the signs that you're in school is that you can't wait for it to finish. You that say, I will attend all classes. I laugh. Except you are like Sister Judith and bro, faith to them. They were the serious students. Amen. I was serious too. Oh, you don't believe. You don't believe more than you can believe. Hallelujah. Very serious student too. As your pastor, you cannot have, you can't see a record of me failing. So if you go and claim that, school, Christianity is not making you pass exam, you are a liar. You don't know book. And you should pray to God. More than pray. Go and read. 5 minutes, you see people that go to class, night class, they will go eat coffee. Cola not. And 5 minutes, you have started sleeping. Your village, they are strength of unbelief. So, there was a time where you had your greatest prayer point was healed of malaria. Different points in your life, but now you've gotten to a place where you are now forgetting the God who has been answering. By the age of so, this is how you're going to look. This is how you're going to be breathing. This condition is permanent. There were things that happened to me when I was younger. They told me, outrightly, this is permanent. You've got to find a way of living with this. You've got to find a way of... I didn't even feel... like I've even forgotten it. Amen. There was a time, my eyes, I was going to be taken out of the country for surgery. It was not that bad. It was probably the worst thing that could have happened to anyone's eyes. We were in usage for months and months and months. We're going to fly me to India. Money was not complete yet. My parents were working actively to get it. But here am I. Hallelujah. I didn't go to India. God met me in Nigeria. Amen. Amen. And I'm healed. No, I'm telling you, I'm healed. Amen. It's still a test. You know, how can I forget? It means God has left me a seal. He has left me a footprint in my heart of the miraculous. It will be chronic unbelief for something to happen now, and I don't remember the God that took care of my eyes. Are you listening to me? Pastor, I don't have an experience like that, but you know someone like that. Oh, you don't know someone like that, but you have read it in God's word. That man was there by the pool 38 years. 38 years, no one to put him there. When I read that, I'm put into remembrance that God does not forget people. Amen. So he says, forget not his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget what he has done. Because the devil will make you forget. He will try. He will bring stories. There's a battle for your memories. Forget not. Why are you scared? Why are you shivering? Remember that I told that my friend, I said, but God healed you of this disease. Why are you now bothered for your brother? If he has done it before, he will do it again. Why are you forgetting? Remember. Say, I remember. Because it's a battle for memories. In Numbers 13, and 14. Moses sent 12 spies. 12. Say, go and spy the promised land, as it were, where we are going to dwell with our children. Go and spy. Let's see what it looks like. Let's look at it. Numbers 13. Verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back the word to them. So they've got him back now. Unto the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So they had enough time to pluck fruit, but not enough time to see what God is doing. Interesting. And they told him and said, we came to the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Amen. Verse 28. Do you have a Bible? It's precious. Let me get a Bible for that brother at the back. I think we have some spare Bibles. Alright. Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, see, are you seeing? They start with, oh, it's so nice, a nice place. It's flowing with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. But they said, verse 28, nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell there. The cities are walled, very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, they dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites, they dwell by the sea, the coast of Jordan. Now, Caleb saw what was going on. Verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, let us go up at once, let's possess it, for we are eligible. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they have searched the children of Israel, saying, the land that we have gone to search is a land that eats up the inhabitants. And all the people we saw there are men of great stature. And we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. 12 people went there. Caleb saw what they saw. And Caleb said, let's go and possess it because God has delivered this to us. And they said, are you kidding? Did you not see those giants? Jesus said, I saw it. It's a battle of memories. Caleb is not looking at the giant. He's looking at the God that brought them out of Egypt. What do you remember? Now, folks, that all the things, and that's why I say, what you feed your mind is too important. The folks, all they remember, all they ever remember, are the people who suffered. All they remember are the people who did not, things did not turn out well for them. All they remembered were the people who died in sicknesses and diseases. You know, I choose to remember that Christ is the healer. I choose to remember that he makes ways where there seems to be no way. I choose to remember that he is the God who delivers. I choose to remember. I know what I want to remember. Amen. There's a battle for our memories. There's a battle. Caleb saw what he saw. He said, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. That's what you can remember. This same person saw the sea split. This was not a second generation. This person, if you had seen a sea, how many of you have been at the sea before? At the sea? I didn't say a river. I didn't say that one that used to cross when you're coming back from school. At the sea. Or the ocean. Anyone? Good. Imagine it split. And you have enough dry ground. Like an 8-lane for God literally made an express road in the middle of water. And you saw it. And the thing that is now scaring you are the sons of Anak. The devil has worked so much on your mind. Pastor, if me, I saw the sea open. I saw the sea split. And I saw water come out of the rock. I will never doubt. That's why Moses will tell you, Paul will tell you. They are examples. If they can do it, you can do it. He said, let him that think he stands, take it, lest he fall. You will think you can't. But that's the same thing. You've seen God heal sicknesses before, and now you doubt it. That's the same thing. Someone else would have said, if I had seen God heal any sickness before, I would have said no, I'm healed. I would have stood upon it. But you have seen it. I've seen God turn around the most impossible situations. And I hope he turns that around with us now tonight. Amen. I had to get that in. But I've seen God turn around the most impossible situations. How can you forget? It must be daily to remind yourself, forget not his benefit. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget a single thing. Don't forget a single thing. Don't forget his benefit. Amen. Has God shown up for you before? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Then you have a responsibility to remember. Look at Mark chapter 5. Before I go to Mark 5, look at Mark 8. Mark 8. Don't forget, in Mark 6, no, we're in Mark 8. But in Mark 6, Jesus fed 5,000 with five thousand men, not including the women and the children. Amen? Come on, amen? With 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. I love the miraculous.
I love the miraculous.
That's amazing, isn't it? And you have people who are like Brother David there. They're not going to take a loaf, amen? They're not going to take a loaf. Hallelujah. Have you seen some people when they're serving during workers' meeting? Or they're serving during retreat? They're always there for more. They hang around that spot. They just hang around. They do like it's edification. You just hang around where food is being served in retreat. Just go. So that session. But why are you talking about the session here? That session was great. The way pastor minister. Oh, Jesus Christ. They're extra. I love extra. I go for more. We had folks like that there who were willing to go for more. And he fed 5,000. If you have seen that before, there is nothing, absolutely nothing that should make you give up hope. I think the real issue is that sometimes we see, we believe, but we forget. We see it, we believe it. It's not like you are doubting that Jesus did it, but you just forgot. So when the robber eats the road and push comes to shove and it appears like, yes, this is the situation now. We forget. We suddenly forget that he has fed 5,000 with 5 loaves. Picture that in your head. 5 loaves of bread. 5,000 people. I will not forget. So in Mark 8, he did it again. So that you know that it's not fluke. Hallelujah. Verse 1. In those days, the multitude, being very great, having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude. If you are one of the disciples, once you hear compassion like this, you just say, okay, bread is on the way. I have compassion on the multitude. They have now been with me 3 days, nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting into their houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. We received that from ministry. Amen.
Amen.
And his disciples answered him, from when can a man satisfy this man with bread in the wilderness? Why will you ask that question? If I was Jesus, I'm going to ask someone so. Chapter 6. Let's move. It's not in chronological order. Chapter 6. I'll be telling them, don't be chapter 6, I just feed. Are we not in chapter 8? Say yes. Don't be chapter 6. See that question. That's why Jesus, at some point, you have to tell them, generation of unbelief. You see, with little faith, the little faith that is in you said, I don't even know whether it's there again. You have to tell them, go and pray and fast. Because you are not seeing anything. You can't remember anything. One of the things fasting does for you is also it helps you to put your mind to focus on what God has done. So say, imagine the question now. He just fed 5,000 men, not including the women and the children, with 5 loaves. Okay, even if he says it's not in chapters and it's not too close, you are still alive. What I should be saying is, Lord, you have done it before. Should we go and find 5 loaves? At least, even if my faith cannot carry 2 loaves, should we find the 5 loaves that you have done before? He said, how can we feed them in this wilderness? That's 5. And he asked, how many loaves do you have? And they said 7 this time around. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took 7 loaves and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said before them. And they did set before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And he blessed and commanded them to set them before them. So they did eat and were filled and took up of the broken meat. And that was left, what was left was 7 baskets. Amen. I think if the disciples were meant to share the 7 baskets, they should not give the guy that asked the question. And Judas. Main 3 people. And Thomas, I'm sure he was going to ask the question.
Amen.
So, they ate, verse 9, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And straight away he entered in a ship, and came to the part of Damanuta. That sounds like the north. And the Pharisees came forth to question him, seeking him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he said, you are a adulterous generation, you seek after a sign. But look at verse 14. No, verse 13 says, and he left them, and entering the ship, again departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Observe with me. They had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take it. Beware of the leaving of the Pharisees and of the leaving of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, is it because we have no bread? Oh, you two are getting tired of them. As he was talking, they felt Jesus was concerned about lack. Take it. Beware of the leaving of the Pharisees and the leaving of Herod. And they felt, it's because we did not take bread. This is someone who just multiplied loaves. How can lack still be what's in your mind? It means they are forgotten. See what Jesus will do. Are you listening to me? Verse 17. Jesus knew it and said to them, why reason ye? Because we have no bread. Perceive you not yet? Don't you have understanding? Have your heart been hardened? This sounds like someone telling you that. Have your heart been hardened? Having eyes, you see not. Having ears, you hear not. Do you not remember when I broke 5 loaves among 5,000? You had to take them back. When I broke 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets do you have? Did you have left? He said 12. And when seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you have? They said 7. And he said unto them, how is it now that you don't understand that this is not about lack? Amen. Do you not remember? And Jesus asking you tonight, do you not remember? I don't know what the devil is trying to put in your mind. I don't know what has clogged your mind. The truth is, everyone has, we all come to the church, smile, welcome each other to church, and we say, oh, glory, glory, we sing, Hosanna in the highest, blessed be the Lord, God Almighty. But we're all facing different things. The only thing that is common to us right now and right here is the commandment of the gospel he has given to us. In our personal and natural lives, we have different faces. While someone is thinking, I don't have chicken at home, another one is thinking, if I feed get one cup of curry. Amen. While someone is saying, you know what, I can't take a job. I can't take a job that they're paying me 2 million. Another one is saying, if I see 50K, and we are all members of the body of Christ. Amen. But regardless of what is going through your mind, regardless of what you're going through, remember. Remember. Jesus asking him, do you not remember? He's also asking, do you not remember the woman who had issue of blood? Remember. There are no hopeless situations with me. Remember. Remember. Jesus is telling you, remember. Do you not remember? Do you not remember when you were healed? Do you not remember when I provided for your needs? Do you not remember when that confusion suddenly disappeared and I made a way where it seems like the doors were closed? Do you not remember? Do you not remember when you thought you were ending your life? Do you not remember? Look at where you are now. Remember. So he asked them, how can you think this is about lack of loaves? He multiplied 5 loaves, among 5,000 men, 7 loaves among 7,000, among 4,000. And they had 7 baskets left. So he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And you are saying, it's because we forgot to take the extra loaves. Jesus saying, how can you be thinking about lack here? Do you not remember? So he brought it back. And that's what you must do. That's what you must do. You must start. If it takes you to stand in front of the mirror, I say mirror a lot because I like it, and start telling yourself what God has done, go and find it and write it. And that's why I say you must have a diary yourself that you call the diary of the miraculous. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
I didn't hear that very well. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
You must have a diary. Any book. Buy it. I think I gave that instruction in December, right? Buy it. Every time God does something, every time, write it down. No matter how little you might look at it. What is little to you is a big mountain to someone else. Amen. Write it down. Today, I was under the sun waiting for a bus. There was no bus. And a private car parked. But be careful of private cars, right? Amen. I was telling the story. It was when I didn't have a car then. And so I was standing, I was waiting for, and a car parked. I told God I needed a car. I was standing under the sun too much. Amen. So the car parked. And he said, where am I going to? I told him where I was going to. He said, oh, he's not going that way, but he's going to drop me off. I said, alright, thank you. So I entered. And we were going. He said, oh. So I picked the call and I was talking to one of our patients. And he said, oh, you're a doctor? I said, something like that. Amen? So as we're talking, he said, okay. He said, well, you're not scared. You just entered my car like that. I said, you were not scared that a stranger just entered and he was not... I told him, I said, you were not scared that I entered and I did not ask questions and I was not scared. He said, I was looking at it. That normally people would be apprehensive and all that. He asked me, was this he? I said, it's blowing, but can I turn this? I'm like, I'm not scared. Amen. Well, little miracles. God just providing something at the corner. Write it down. You will need it in the days of battle. You will need it when you're about to forget. So you bring out that book. I have it. I have that book. You bring out that book. Start reading. When I was in 400 level, God, you did this. When I was a kid, you did this. Amen. Amen. When I appeared, my parents, this was going on and all of that. This is what you did. I prayed about it. This is what you did. Amen. Let it give you strength to remember more. Pastor, maybe I don't have those experiences yet. You have a hole in this book. Hallelujah. Huh? This book is your diary of the miraculous. The book started with darkness and it tells you what God will do to darkness. Light. That itself shows you the nature of God. It will never leave you in the dark. Amen? So you remember. So the next time it appears that darkness clogs and everywhere is surrounded, you tell yourself, the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in my heart. I remember. Are you with me? I remember. I remember. He does not allow darkness to stay. I remember from chaos, he calls forth order. I choose to remember. Are you with me? It says, bless the Lord. Forget not his benefits. Don't forget a single thing. Don't forget. If God has shown up for you before, you put it down. Because the devil is battling for your memory. I told you, I said it earlier. It's not just what you remember. It's how you remember it. Mark chapter 5. Start to close very soon. You learn something? Verse 30. And Jesus immediately, knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now this is the story of the woman who had the issue of blood. Amen? Don't say the story of a woman with the issue of blood. She doesn't have the issue of blood no more. Amen? Who had the issue of blood? Hallelujah. We remember. Amen? Huh? We remember that he stepped in. Abi? Aha. The woman with the issue of blood. No, she doesn't have it. She had the issue of blood. Because something happened. And we remember it. Who touched my clothes? Verse 31. And the disciples said unto him, see the multitude now. Jesus, sometimes. You are too spiritual. Who touched my clothes? How many people are around you, sir? Who touched my clothes? Sir, is it not the same clothes I ironed yesterday? And he looked round about to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, verse 34, look at your Bibles, please. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. While he yet spoke, there came from the ruler. Now, look up. The story is, Jesus was not going to the woman. Jesus was going to Jairus' house. Are you with me? Jairus came to call Jesus because his daughter was sick. Jesus was going to Jairus' house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then on the road to Jairus' house, that woman turned the power of God to her own direction. That means I can, with my own faith, change the direction of God's power. I can, with my own faith, say, you know what? God's power is mine now. It's working in my body now. It's working in my family now. It's working in my ministry now. I can, with faith, change and give direction to God's power. I was going to Jairus' house, suddenly came to her. And so, while he yet spoke, verse 35, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain men that said, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master any further. So there are folks who, they just believe it's already an hopeless situation. There are folks who, once they're like, oh, it's cancer, it's kidney failure. You know that? Let's just be praying. There are no hopeless situations. Remember. Are you with me? Remember. Let what he has done before give you fuel for more. Moses saw his rod become serpent and he knew that he can do anything. He did 9 more. You've got to remember. Are you with me? So while he spoke, they said, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master any further. Can we verse 36 together, everybody? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. Listen, because what is in your mind is important. Jesus is walking. Yeah, you must choose the memory to take. The woman who was healed or the news you just got. As soon. Say soon. Go listen to our healing school. If you trust in God for healing in your body or for another, go and listen to the healing school. I think it's out already. It's about 7 tracks. Go and listen to it again and again. If you're believing God for healing, it's not the time to be reading blogs and all of that. Fine. I know sometimes people want to know about their symptoms, all of that. I think I discussed about symptoms, reading about symptoms and all of that. But that's not the time to be Googling people who have it, epidemiology. It's time to feed your mind with the miraculous. It's time to remember. Feed your mind so much that it's so hard to forget that God is the healer. Are you listening to me? Feed your mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As soon as Jesus heard, play for me as a close. As soon as Jesus heard, he told Jairus, the devil is about to battle for your memory. He's about to battle for your remembrance. If you're not careful, everything that will be ringing in Jairus' head till they get home is your daughter is dead. Mm-mm. Jesus said, you must choose. This has just happened. This woman is healed. 12 years she has been battling with an issue of blood. Different physicians have seen her. That means people finished medical school, went for their residency. They did a house job, did NYSC, worked, did residency, junior residency, and this woman still had the issue of blood. That means, you know how many times they must have seen her on ward round? And the consultant would say, so this man has been coming here for about 7 years. Give or take, 7 to 8 years. The consultant is even telling you, I met her here. That was enough time for her to get used to it. That was enough time for her to say, you know what? Maybe, you know, some of us have to carry our cross. You know, maybe. But she pressed. And she said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. And she touched. I told you, it's not about just hearing God's word. It's about doing it. The word of God you don't do is as good as the one you never heard. The word of God you don't act upon is as good as you never hearing it. Like I told you, you don't get fit by registering for the gym. No, you get fit by going there. You've got to act. Got to do something. Jairus just saw that woman healed. And then the news came. Your daughter is dead. He has the choice now for what to believe. Are you listening to me? Forget not. So Jesus said, forget not his benefit. Forget not a single thing. Do not be afraid. Only believe. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefit. Forget not that your sins are forgiven. That's what I said, right? Who forgives all your iniquities? Forget not. Because the devil will bring to your mind. You say, you know what? You two are trying to do Christianity. It's you? Do you know who you are? Should I remind you of that time that you said you were going to change? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not his benefit.
who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases and crowns you with mercy. I choose to remember. Amen. I'm not forgetful. I'm not forgetful. When I see it in God's word, it brings to me possibilities of what he can do again. Forget not his benefit. Forget not his benefit. Remember him. Remember his works. The children of Ephraim, being armed, they took on bows and arrows, but they turned back in the day of battle because they forgot the God who split the sea, the God who brought out water out of rock as though it was out of great depths. They forgot the God who fed their fathers for 40 years. They forgot the God who ensured that their shoe, the sole of their shoe, did not wear off for 40 years. How do you forget that? It shows you that it's not normal. It shows you that the devil is actively also working on memories. He's actively working to bring up scenarios and scenes and situations back to our memories. And say, you know what? Yeah, you think all these things. It doesn't work like that, oh. It doesn't work like that, oh. No. I choose not to forget his benefit. My mind is on him. My mind is stayed on him. Isaiah 26 verse 3. He says, he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. My mind is stayed on him. I'm not here or there. I'm not everywhere. My mind is on him. I look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. Unwavering, unmoved, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. My feet are not shaken. My feet are not shaken. I'm rock solid on the solid rock himself. I don't forget. My joy is intact. My peace is intact. I remember that he heals sicknesses. I remember that there are no impossible situations. I remember that he always meets needs. I remember that his peace can flood my heart. You know what Paul told the church? He said, the peace of God that surpasses human understanding. Philippians 4 verse 7. He says, in verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing. But in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the God of peace, the one who gives peace that surpasses human understanding, will fill your heart. You believe that? So I remember. My memory is intact. Of God's goodness. Eh? Of answered prayers. My memory is intact. Amen. So no situation looks impossible. No situation looks away from God. My mind is stayed on him. I remember. You remember? Come and give me that song. Remember our God. What's the beginning? I remember. Can you pray for yourself tonight? Lord Jesus, I stay in the fact, remembering what you have done. When you multiply loaves, I don't ask again, how will these things be? No, I don't ask. I know you are the God who answers prayers.